Okay, so Safi, today we're going to have a chat on camera about how it feels for you to be in a school. You are probably aware that I do some work at school on diversity, equity and inclusion, and you probably get a bit fed up of me talking about it all the time. But one of the things we said was we thought it was really important that we had a student voice. Actually, we talk a lot about these issues and then we never include students. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I will talk to my daughter and we will see if we can get a student's point of view. So that's really the aim of today, to just find out what it's like for you in an international school, or in fact, in a school in general. So I'll ask you some questions, but we can just chat in general. So first of all, how would you describe yourself?
Probably as a 14-year-old English girl.
Living
in Luxembourg.
Okay, fine. How do you think others would describe you?
Probably as a mixed race girl, just a mixed race girl.
Okay.
Or a black person.
Okay, if they know you or if they don't.
If they don't know me, they'd probably just say black, even though technically in terms of colour, not black, I'm brown, in terms of nationality.
True, well, I've heard people now say the term black and brown skin more. It seems to be becoming more of a phrase that they talk about.
Well, of course they group black and brown people together, but why not brown and white? Because I'm just as much white as I am black, if not more so. So I'm not sure why they group black and brown people together and not brown and white people together, as we are the same amount alike.
Do you think people see that you're half white?
Yes, I think they see it, but they probably see me as majority like black. And if they, probably just think of me as, I don't know, they're thinking of stereotypical black, as a stereotypical black person, yeah.
So you think that skin colour is one of the first things people see and a main identifier for others?
Mm-hmm. But I feel like people get confused between skin colour and nationality and things. Because skin colour, it's skin colour, yet people would call me black, even though my skin colour is brown. It's brown.
Mm-hmm. And I know you said to me before, you often feel that you identify more with your white side than your black side.
Well, yeah, of course. I've never lived in the Gambia. I'm half Gambian. I've never lived there. I've lived in England for 7 years and Luxembourg for about 7 years, both European countries. And yeah, my nationality is British. I identify as a British person. And yeah, I'm English.
Do you think you do that to make a point if somebody asks you where you're from?
Yeah,
do you
probably.
Make a point of saying I'm British? Because you know they might be thinking something else.
Well, off the top of my head, if someone asks me that, I'll say I'm British. But yeah, if I'm really thinking about what they're asking me, I'll probably, make a point out of saying that I'm British. And not, not because I'm embarrassed or anything of any way of my other side of my culture. It's just, I've lived in England and Luxembourg and I have a British passport and I speak English. I don't know. Yeah, so I probably relate more to my British side.
Mm-hmm. I know you're proud of your Gambian side.
Yeah, so. Of course.
Yeah. So do you know that there have been a couple of times in my life where people have asked me if you're adopted?
Yes, like at the airport where they asked, what is your relation to this person?
How does that make you feel?
Bad, because it's like, we're not related. Yeah, it's a bit, it makes you feel bad, to be honest.
Okay, so thinking about school, can you tell us a little bit about where you go to school?
Well, obviously I go to the same school as you teach, but the secondary, so St. George's.
Mm-hmm. And do you see yourself mirrored or represented in the school?
It's hard to say. in the sense, like, in an English side, yes, because it's an English school and there's an English curriculum and stuff. From my, like, African side, my Gambian side, obviously not as much, but sometimes, yeah.
What about with the other students?
Well, there's clearly not that many, I'd say, black people.
You say clearly, but we're an international school. But...
Yeah, well, it's majority, in terms of skin colour, it's majority white people, but doesn't mean to say they're not, I don't know, from Asia, Africa, Europe. Doesn't mean to say my best friend, if you look at him, you'd think that he's white, but he's Arabic, he's from Egypt and Canada, so yeah.
Actually, St. George's has 50 to 60 different nationalities, mm-hmm. and most of our students are mixed in some way, maybe not as visibly mixed,
yeah.
but actually a lot of them are dual heritage with families from different backgrounds as well.
Yeah.
So what about on the staffing body? Do you see yourself mirrored there?
Definitely, but not as much as, I don't know, maybe I would like. There's, off the top of my head, there's about three teachers with, who are like black, half black. Yeah.
Asian,
yeah. But yeah, I can't, the thing is, I'm racking my brain here to think of teachers that are Asian and black, if that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that matter?
No, not really. Doesn't matter, but obviously it's nice to see yourself represented by people who you can maybe relate to more. Yeah, but in general, it doesn't bother me that much.
And if you never saw yourself represented on the staffing body, what message would that give you?
What message would it give me?
I mean, you can think about colour, you could think about gender, you could think about leadership, but if you didn't see anybody who looked like you or talked like you or...
Well, obviously it'd make me feel different, and no one likes to feel different
from
everyone else. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe a role model. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but you know, if you see somebody who is like mm-hmm. you, does that give you a positive feeling?
Yeah, of course. Like when you see, like when you hear someone, if you're talking to someone, they're like, oh, I'm from Gambia. I'm like, oh, me too. And you know, you have that thing in common, you know, that thing that you share. So it makes it, yeah, it just feels like you feel probably a bit more comfortable with them. Just, you know, because you have more things to relate to, more things in common, you know, if you're from the same place. Same thing if you're like, if you're American, even mm-hmm. if you're, someone's like, I'm from America, oh, me too, you know, then you're like, oh, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or London, when we're talking
yeah.
about London and what it's like.
Yeah.
What about in the curriculum? Do you see yourself or your culture represented within the curriculum?
Yes, but whenever they do it, it's kind of to make a point out of it. And whenever they do it, I don't know, sometimes it feels like they're only doing it, you know, just to say that they've done it.
Tokenistic.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
Yeah, it means that they're kind of ticking a box and saying, yeah, done that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's... Because basically, at school... Okay, in terms of race, okay, black people, we learn about slavery. That's obviously one of the main topics. What else do we learn about? And then we learn about, I don't know.
You were telling me that when there were black people in books, that they were often facing adversity, that it was often about
a
trouble or a struggle that they've had.
The books that have come up where black people are in it, it's often highlighting the point that they're black and struggles of being black and how people treat them as being black.
And does that happen when you've got white characters?
No.
Well, it might. It would depend, I guess, on the book, wouldn't it? But
yeah. In what I've been learning recently, if there's a white person in a book, it doesn't harp on the fact that they're white and how they're treated as a white person. Like, we've been, basically what we did recently is, you know, that I'm pretty sure everyone's done this activity where there are images on the board. There's like, there was an image with, their color was black. They were black people. They were an African tribe. And they had a animal, like a dead animal on a stick, and they were carrying it to eat it. And then there was a normal farm, like a farm that you would see, I guess, in Europe. And they asked, so what's your opinion on this? And as a well-educated school, obviously we all said, okay, so the farm, the normal farm is more negative than the other one because it's overly farmed and crowded with animals, and the other one is better because they use every part of the animal and they only take what they need.
Free range.
Yeah, exactly. But
do you think they were expecting you not to say that?
Yes, obviously they're expecting us not to say that, and it gets a little old. So kind of roll my eyes at that, you know, because it's like, yeah, we know about that now. Obviously, well, yeah, we know about it. So
stereotypes, or
yeah.
So, in general, how do you see the African side of you represented in the media, or in books, in the press? What do you see when it's black people, mixed race people?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is when you say black person in media is a child who's starving and without water and dying. Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind, which obviously says something about the media. Yeah, it's gotten better over time, but it's still like that. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
What about if I said a black man in the media?
I don't know.
Positive, negative, neutral?
I'm just seeing a black man, just a normal black man wearing like shirt, jeans, shoes, just a normal black man.
I saw a kind of funny video, I think it was a group of South African men, and they said, hey, you've probably seen us in the media. We're always the guy in the movie who's got the gun, who usually dies halfway through, or is the aggressive one, or a sportsman, you know. And they were kind of making fun of the way they were represented and how they were always seen. I do remember once, you know, I like watching these house programs about people doing up houses and looking for new houses. And I remember watching one with you, and it was a black family. And I remember you being surprised and said, oh, it's a black family. And they were looking at a really nice house, a really posh house.
They were rich.
Yeah. But I remember you commenting, it was a couple of years ago, but you commenting to me, commenting to me that it was unusual to see a family that was just a normal family, who were a wealthy family, as you say, who were looking at a lovely house, that wasn't the demographic that was usually represented in that kind of program. Mm-hmm. Is that changing, or do you think that's still the same?
I'm not sure, I'm not actually sure what you're asking, but if you're asking what black people on social media, they're often talking about themselves being black. They're often talking about, I don't know, how they've been, verbally abused. I don't know if you saw the video of a African-American citizen getting arrested for no reason and pepper sprayed. No. He was in a car and he was in his army uniform and he had done nothing wrong and he was simply asking and he was saying, I'm scared, and
No.
So often when you see black people in the media, it's of how they're being wrongly treated. Also, it's not just that, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind when you say it.
And probably as a teacher, I've definitely been guilty of teaching for a long time. I taught about Martin Luther King, or I talked to Nelson Mandela, Rosa Parks, and talking about slavery and struggles. But now I feel like, and funnily enough, when you were born and went to school, I thought, I don't want that to be what you know about mm-hmm. your heritage. I don't want you to that to be your one message about your heritage. I want you to hear about the richness of African culture. I want you to hear about just the normal role models who are, I mean, thank heavens for Michelle and Barack Obama, because we've got just some role models who are achieving well because of who they are, not because of the colour of their skin. In your curriculum, are you being exposed to that as well? The sort of positive role models or the positive side of Africa, for example?
Yes, but when we do learn about the positive side of Africa, Africa and Asia, it's not just about the wealthy side. It's the thing is, when we learn about it, it's making a point. It's just saying, look, this is actually how it is. This is, you know, it's not just some like poo rivers and mud houses. Mm-hmm. It's just always talking about the stereotypical view versus the realistic view.
So when you've been in Gambia, what are the houses like?
It's normal houses. There are normal houses, hotels. Yeah, they're not the same as here. They probably look a bit underdeveloped, but yeah, it's not like mud huts and stuff. That's not realistic at all.
And there's rich sides as well, there's port sides.
Of course there's rich mm-hmm. sides. There's huge, there's mansions there, you know? And there's far less poverty there than other countries, yeah.
So,
because they're more.
And do you ever get taught that side? I know, I remember Freddie saying in geography they actually looked at Gambia and they only talked about things like unemployment or poverty or lack of food and those statistics.
That's not what I think of when I think of Gambia. No. When I think of Gambia, I just think about random things like how they have one of the longest runways in the world and how it's an emergency spaceship landing or something. I think about, I don't know, the cool sights that you see, how it became one of the first countries to ban plastic bags. Yeah, how it's coming up with cures for like malaria and stuff using dog. That's what I think about when I think of Gambia and how they're actually really good on, like, there's barely any sexism there. There's a lot of like strong, powerful women and they respect. That's what I think of when I think of Gambia, not like some underdeveloped country with, you know, no electricity, where they don't have, I don't know, toilet paper or something. That's not what I think of. Like, yes, it's being factually correct. Yeah, it's less
there's
developed.
That side as well.
It's less developed, but.
Mm-hmm. And would you like to see that talk more in the curriculum?
Yeah, of course.
In fact, actually in primary at the minute, we're doing a project with Gambia and it's all about climate change. Mm-hmm. And it's actually focusing on the positive steps that Gambia has made in order to eradicate.
And it's not comparing it to how.
Well, no, we're looking at them as role models.
Yeah, exactly.
So they are setting the global targets.
But are you saying, look, kids, this is what Africa is really like. Forget those stereotypical types.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to meet up with Gambian schools and say, can you tell us, please, how you work to recycle, how you look after the environment, because you are meeting your global targets and we are not. So what steps are you taking? How can you advise us?
Yeah, I understand what you say, but what you're saying, like, you're just having a project about Gambia. It's just a project about Gambia.
Well, it's a project about climate change, really.
Yeah, it's a project about climate change. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're teaching them not, by doing that, you're teaching them not to forget, that you're teaching them to forget the stereotypical views, but you're not focusing on the point that it's, I don't know, it's hard to say.
But you can have different aspects. We were talking earlier about characters in books and how I like a book where I might read a book and halfway through I discover that the character is black or mixed race and I didn't even know because that wasn't what the book was about.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and in a way that's why with Gambia that's one aspect we're talking about, climate change. The focus isn't the rest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's nice that the focus isn't on that negative side, you know. It's nice that the focus is like, it's just a normal country, just talking about climate change.
Because when we teach about Europe,
Yeah, you don't look at it in comparison to poverty in Europe, you just look at it as climate change.
And yet we've just been in London at Christmas, and I don't know about you, but I was shocked at how many people were on the street in London when we were out. There were a lot of homeless people.
I wasn't shocked.
Well, it seemed like more this time, but maybe I've been away for a long time with
COVID. I wasn't shocked at all. There's tons of poverty in England. And the way I wasn't shocked that there was poverty in England would be the same reaction that if I went to Gambia, that I wouldn't be shocked that there's no poverty there, or very little poverty there. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be like, oh, there's no homeless people here. Because that's...
But do you think, for example, how it is, I also know when I had some Gambian people come to England to work in our school on an exchange, they were shocked. Mm-hmm. They didn't realise there was poverty in UK, in London. They were surprised at the diversity in my school in London as well. So they were not taught the other way. That, you know, back in the olden days, they used to talk about Mother England. I know Caribbeans who said they used to say that the roads in England were paved with gold. And some people actually came and expected a different kind of richness. Okay, we should move on anyway. So... how does that make you feel if you see that portrayal of your culture, part of your culture, within the curriculum? Even both parts may be misrepresented.
Anyone would be a bit annoyed if their country is being misrepresented in whatever way they're being misrepresented.
Would you have any advice to teachers or school leaders on how they could adapt or amend the curriculum?
I don't know. Wait, what was the question again?
About how the curriculum could be amended or adapted. We were saying about how you're represented or included, or not just you, others, other cultures. I mean, when we're talking about books, for example, you're actually talking about the characters in books. I mean,
get books where they don't harp on the fact that they're being treated worse. Just have more.
Do you think they exist? It's taken a long time. They do now exist, by the way, but actually it is harder to find books where there are just characters who are black or Asian. I saw a child coming into school the other day and she was reading as she walked past the gate, secondary, and I stopped her and I said, oh, what are you reading? And the front cover had a picture of a black and Asian girl. And I think as well, they were in a same-sex relationship when I saw the book. And I'm like, let me write down the name of that author. And she said, oh, actually, she's a really good author and she writes a lot of different stories. But sometimes the books that we study in literature are still focused on perhaps more male protagonists or white protagonists. There's not as many. I remember when you and you don't often tell me about your learning, but you came back from a lesson and you were actually maybe excited is too strong a word, but motivated, and you'd been looking at Chimamanda Adichie's The Danger of a Single Story. So why did that make you feel interested?
It's because I've obviously experienced what Africa is really like, and not just Gambia, like Morocco, Gambia, Senegal. I've been to Egypt, I've been to different parts of Africa, and I've seen that it's not, if I see it being like misrepresented, I'll obviously be the first person to say, oh, well, actually, you know. I think what...
So why was it motivating hearing her speak? Apart from the fact that she is just a brilliant speaker.
Yeah. Because I could relate to it. Because it's relatable. Because it's like, when she's speaking, you're like, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the video of her with the French journalist?
No.
Well, I told you to look it up. You should. You would like it, because she kind of gave him a little bit of a...
Yeah.
Was it him or her? We'll watch it afterwards anyway. So, would you like to see curriculums changed or schools changed, and if so, how?
What do you mean, so that they incorporate more regular black, Asian?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice.
Do you see it, Chad? I mean, I know at St George's your teachers right across the school is a focus on DEI.
What's that?
Diversity, equity and inclusion. Do you see that coming into your lessons more? You talked about you've done a lot of work on refugees or in your assemblies or...
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's refugees, not just a normal.
So it's still that negative viewpoint. So
it's not negative. It's just repetitive. If there's a book about a refugee, like I love those books, like books about the concentration camps, like books about like, I don't know, civil wars and stuff. I love those books. But it just gets old when you talk about it and you talk about it and you talk about it. It just gets repetitive. Just like mix it up a bit. Just put different stories, not always a story, not always the book Refugee Boy, not always the book To Kill a Mockingbird, not always those types of books. Just, yeah, obviously we still need to be taught about that, but don't overdo it. Because we know, and it gets old, and by the end of it, you're just like, this again, you know, it's like, we know.
So, for example, I gave you for Christmas Chimamanda Adichie's Americana. Have you started reading it yet?
No.
But, well, when you have, let me know. Maybe that will be something that could be on the curriculum. Although she has, I would have put Half a Yellow Sun on the curriculum, but that's quite hard to read. I gave you an easier one to start with. But so you'd like to see just a wider range in the curriculum, lots of different areas represented, and more subtly, not just about racism, not just about adversity.
Because if there's a black scientist, they're probably going to be like, look at that, a black scientist, wow. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's like...
It's just a sentence.
Normalize it. Because it is normal. It's already normal, so get it in your brain that it's normal. Just normalize it.
Funnily enough, all across Africa, they have scientists.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And women, you know, in different roles as well. Okay, well, thank you very much, Safi. I wonder if anybody wanted to ask you any questions. Would you be willing to answer?
Sure.
All right, thank you.